activist Rosa Luxemburg, in her book Reform of Revolution, wrote, "People who pronounce themselves in favor of the method of legislative reform in place of and in contradistinction to the conquest of political power, a social revolution, do not really choose a more tranquil, calmer, and slower road to the same goal, but a different goal. Instead of taking a stand for the establishment of a new society, they take a stand for surface modifications of the old society," unquote. As the nation's Republicans and political leaders had their feasts and festivities of opulence and splendor in the shadows of poverty, deprivation, and want, Philadelphia hosted hundreds of demonstrators from a variety of movements who each and all came to register their strong disapproval with the status quo and who opposed the repressive state of affairs. What is interesting is how these people were projected and represented in the corporate media. Almost without exception, the people were likened to that infamous Southern epithet, outside agitator. Demonstrators were called anarchists, and some ridiculous media outlets seemed to whisper that they were terrorists. Similar media hyperbole will no doubt be projected at those who protested at the Democratic Wealth Fest in L.A. Why? Because the media, certainly now more than ever, is a tool of wealth, and as such, the instrument of those who rule, the wealthy. When people challenge the status quo, no matter how vicious, no matter how vile that status quo, they are opposed by those who benefit from their status. There are few Americans today who would dare to criticize the late civil rights leader, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Now lionized, at the time of his early ministry of protest, he was criticized by virtually every major news outlet in the nation. It took the rise of unapologetic militant activists like the late Malcolm X and the fiery young lions like Stokely Carmichael, later Kwame Ture, H. Rapp Brown, now Imam Jamil Alameen, and the revolutionary Black Panther Party to make the Reverend Dr. King look appealing to the rulers and their media. For his national campaign of protests, however, he was frequently condemned by the press for being an outside agitator. When the French bourgeoisie and workers were rebelling against the crown, Philadelphia's own Benjamin Franklin, an ambassador, and Virginia's Thomas Jefferson were, quote, powerful alien subverters, unquote, of the French government. French historian Pierre Croissant wrote in the French Revolution of 1932, regarding Franklin's influence, quote, "His house at Passy at once became the headquarters of the agitators. He was the high priest of the philosophers, the messiah of the malcontents, the patron of the framers of all systems. People wrote to him from all quarters, begging him for advice," unquote. In France, Franklin was an outside agitator, spreading dangerous and subversive ideas about the uselessness of kings in the land ruled by Louis the 16th. A young French lawyer was inspired by him and dedicated his first speech in court to the American. That lawyer was Robespierre, one of the most radical of the French revolutionaries. Today, who calls Franklin, Jefferson, or Thomas Paine, who was made a French citizen after the revolution and elected deputy for Pas-de-Calais, outside agitators? The great African-American scholar Oliver Cox wrote in his book Caste, Class, and Race, "In political class conflict, the ruling class will always be intolerant. Speech is never free to be used as a threat to the reign of a political class," unquote. Now, isn't that precisely what was shown in Philadelphia, the so-called Cradle of Liberty, which threw over 400 men and women into their most vile dungeon, Holmesburg Prison, the second oldest prison in America? Didn't they show this when they hit young protesters with fines of up to $1 million called bail? For daring to exercise their alleged rights of free speech and protest, they were denied every other so-called right imaginable. For true revolutionaries, there is no outside. For boundaries of race and of caste and of language, gender, and nationality fade into the commonality of human and indeed of life. To the state, which draws and separation, nothing could be more dangerous. We must all learn from this and build from this, for revolution isn't a dinner party. It's a struggle to really transform and change things. Let us begin. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu.